from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Thank you, Susan, for that reading, and George, for leading us so well in worship. Our prayer follows up from that scripture reading, and then we'll go directly to the message. Let us pray together. God of all mercy and surprise, you meet us in unexpected places, beneath the branches of our shame, in the doorways of our longing. You call each of us beloved, and you call us to see others with the same grace. We pray for all who are searching today for meaning, for shelter, for a way forward, for those burdened by guilt or regret, for those who fear they are beyond your reach. May your mercy lift them, and your presence restore them to life. We pray for leaders and nations that justice might not be lost in the press for power. We pray for peace in lands torn by conflict, for homes rebuilding after flood or fire, and for communities weary of hatred and division. We pray for people whose lives have been upended, countries left in ruins by the Hurricane Melissa. May your Spirit move among us to heal what is broken and renew what is good. We give thanks for every sign of generosity, for those who freely share, and for forgiveness offered, and for love made visible in daily acts of care. Draw near to us, Lord Jesus, until our lives, like Zacchaeus, reflect the joy of being found. In your name we pray. Amen. The journalist and social critic Vance Packard, in his decades-old book, The Status Seekers, said that in North America there is a class system to signal their social standing. These include the cars they drive, the size and location of their home, the choice of clothing, and the clubs they join. He says people are constantly measuring themselves against others. He says prosperity has not led to a classless society, but amplified social anxieties and competition for status. If you're only getting by, you might think to yourself, at least I'm not a racialized immigrant working at McDonald's or a chicken processing plant, where you might start a 12 to 12 hour shift at 4 or 5 in the morning. I remember a young woman in a congregation I served, of the Dinka people of South Sudan. Dinkas are among the tallest people in the world. She was probably 6'5 or more. And she posted a picture of herself on Facebook at work at a chicken processing plant in Waterloo. She was on a line, and in the middle of COVID, there she was without a mask. And you could see her radiant smile. She was happy she had a job, even if her shift ended at 4 a.m. while it was still dark. And she'd wait around hoping that someone else who was also finishing might offer her a ride home. Who wants a job like that? And some might think to themselves with self-elevating pride, thank goodness I'm not like her, with no life to speak of, and jet black at that. Thank God I'm not like her. Isabel Wilkerson, in her book Caste, says we operate on a rigid and hidden caste system, a ranking of human values that sets the presumed supremacy of one group against the presumed inferiority of another group. And she says this, caste is insidious everywhere and therefore powerful. It is not hatred. It is not necessarily personal. It is the worn grooves of comforting routines, patterns of social order that have been in place for so long that it looks like the natural order of things. And of course, in this hierarchy of races, there are some at the top, all kinds of races in between, and those who are jet black, possibly at the bottom. Wilkerson had a conversation once with a woman from what we call the dark continent. And the woman said to Wilkerson, "You know, there are no black people in Africa. It sounds nonsensical to our ears, and I can attest to that having grown up in two countries in Africa." She says, "There's a whole continent, we might think, of black people in Africa. How could anyone not see that?" But this woman said to her, to Wilkerson, "Africans are not black. They are Igbo and Yoruba, Ewe, Akan, and Ndebele. They are not black. They are just themselves. They are humans on the land, and that is how they see themselves, and that is who they are." I've sensed in my coming here at First London that we are a part of a church that is welcoming of everybody without judging or diminishing in any way. And is there any other kind of welcome? If you feel marginalized in any way, diminished or relegated as somehow unworthy, you would like the Gospel of Luke. He's all about tearing down walls and barriers. Luke is the gospel for the outcast, the poor, and those who do not belong. You'd be drawn to how Luke expresses the message of Jesus, whose message, whose mission was to seek and save the lost, the hurting, the despised, the outcast. And I pray that in this place, you will hear that message and experience that message. Whoever you are, without any judgment, without any aspersions cast on who you might be. And that you can respond to Jesus as in that gospel hymn, "Just as I am, I come." In God's kind of world, everybody matters, is somebody. But in our world, which likes tiers of value, there are some who are rejected, dismissed as of no value, and more so if you have moral strikes against you. And Zacchaeus was such a man. I'd imagine his parents had the highest and loftiest of dreams for him. Those of you who are parents know what I mean. You look at that wonderful child and already you can see and imagine what greatness is going to come out of that child. And they named that child Zacchaeus, which means the one who is just and pure. But he was like an outcast. He was a tax collector. And they were given to overcharging so they could line their pockets with their profits. Most Jews viewed them as traitors, as well as thieves. Here they were collecting taxes for the oppressors, the Romans. And they were thieves because they charged more than they needed to, and they would line their pockets with their hefty profits. A tax collector was seen as being on the same level as with a robber or a murderer or a sexual reprobate. Jewish courts considered a tax collector's evidence as invalid, and they scoffed at his charitable gifts because they assumed that whatever he was given was, after all, stolen goods that belonged to somebody else. Zacchaeus was that like that man who applied to the Lonely Hearts Club. And he got his application back in the mail with a note. "We are not that lonely." He was a social outcast, a cultural misfit. He belonged nowhere. Unlike the tax collector of last week who held up his hands and said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." Here was a tax collector who knew there was something utterly wrong with him. There was something missing in his life, and he longed to correct it. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the resort town of Jericho, with its waving palm trees and fig trees and balsam groves, which perfumed the air for miles. King Herod had his winter palace there. It had rich gardens watered by living springs. It was a prosperous border city where the roads east and west, north and south intersected, somewhat like the city of London in the colonialist period. It included other cities like garrison cities like Quebec City and Kingston and Toronto, where the armies could go quickly in case there was any trouble or invasion. And Zacchaeus was a successful businessman, but nobody who was anybody was a friend of tax collectors. He stood alone, apart from everybody else. Nobody wanted to be associated with him. But like everybody else, he had heard of Jesus, the man who could raise the dead, still a storm, and feed the thousands with a little lunch that a schoolboy had brought along with him. And Zacchaeus forgot about dignity or his position of being grown up, and he scrambled up a sycamore tree for a better view. And if you travel to Jericho today, they will show you a 2,000-year-old sycamore tree, which they say was the very tree that Zacchaeus climbed. Wink, wink. Who knows? But it does not really matter. He was up a big sycamore tree. We assume he was short. Do you remember singing the song in Sunday school, perhaps? What was it? Zacchaeus was a wee little man or a very little man, was he? And we assume, of course, that he was short. Fred Craddock was a wonderful preacher, just passed on a few years ago. He was also a short man, and I heard him say one time, "We all assume that Zacchaeus was a short little man." In fact, when you look at the text, it is ambiguous. It could be that Jesus, like me, was a short little man, and everyone around him was tall. And so, of course, to get a better view, Zacchaeus climbed up a tree so that he could see Jesus. Interesting little wrinkle to that story, a possibility. Perhaps Zacchaeus climbed up that tree out of curiosity, Perhaps there was a longing for something better in his life. Perhaps he felt trapped in his spirit, up a tree, metaphorically, with nowhere else to go. Perhaps for him and for the story, the tree was symbolic of the struggles of his life, the emptiness and confusion in his heart. Though he was rich in so many things, he never felt poorer. Perhaps he had heard the murmured accusation by the religious authorities of the day about this man, and he wanted to see him for himself. That said of Jesus, "This Son of Man comes eating and drinking. Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." He was a tax collector, and he finally found someone who would look at him without condemnation and judgment. If there is such a person, that would be the person who could reach out to him in his darkness. And I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life when you didn't know which way to go. Has there ever been a time when you felt abandoned, even by family and friends? This has been the experience of many LGBTQ teens who have been thrown out by their families and shunned by the church. Here are anguished teens who end up on the streets. They're among that population in our society who have the highest rates of suicide. Has there ever been a time when you are positive that nobody loved you? Has there ever been a time in your life when the problems you were experiencing, marital problems, substance abuse, financial problems, made you feel like a total failure, made you feel that you were totally inadequate and you couldn't cope with life even for one more day? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, and most of us have been there, then you know what it is like to be up a tree. The world is filled with people who are up a tree. Circumstances have been harsh, the loss of a loved one, the breakup of a special relationship, unemployment, illness, addiction, physical, emotional or sexual abuse or confusion. And the list goes on and on. There are many people up a tree today, and Zacchaeus was on that day that Jesus came into town. And Jesus stopped by the tree and looked up at a shocked and surprised man. "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm coming to your house today." I wonder what happened in that house. Did Zacchaeus pull out his finest china? I wish I could have heard their conversation. But something happened there which made Zacchaeus a different person, changed him inside out, wanted to be a follower of Jesus with all his heart and soul and mind, and changed the direction of his life. It was dramatic. He wanted to be a better person than he was. I wonder if you've seen the movie, now a few years back, As Good As It Gets. Jack Nicholson plays a crude, obsessive, compulsive author by the name of Melvin. Truth be told, Nicholson often seems to do his best work in roles in which he is half crazy or enraged. He is quite often a jackass. Are you allowed to say that in church? Yeah. But in the movie, he falls in love with a waitress by the name of Carol, played by Helen Hunt. Both of them received Academy Awards for Best Male and Female Actress or Actors. In the movie, Melvin finally invites Carol to dinner and immediately insults her about the dress she's wearing. And she's about to leave the table but says to Melvin, "Pay me a compliment, Melvin. I need one now." And this deeply flawed man, his own worst enemy, looks at Carol with all the kindness his shriveled heart could muster and says, "Carol, you make me want to be a better man. That is what Jesus Christ does for us. He makes us want to be a better person. When he sits at our dinner table, shares in our lives, comes to know us in a personal way, we are inspired to be better than we think we sometimes are. Yes, Jesus, you make me want to be a better man. And Zacchaeus stands up in front of those who hate him most and says, there are two things that I'm willing to do today to change my way of life. First of all, I want to be generous. Half of all my possessions I give to the poor. Nothing frees us from the slavery to possessions like generosity. The poor didn't need to receive as much as Zacchaeus needed to give. Giving amounted to an emancipation proclamation. The one set free in this story is Zacchaeus. He is now free to hear the cry of the needy and respond with joy. It adds a greater dimension of meaning to his life and to our lives. As we say, here is what I'm called to do. God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing to others. Zacchaeus declares, half my goods I will give to the poor. And he could do it and not feel the least bit deprived. And Zacchaeus is not finished. He says, today I want to make restitution. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. The name Zacchaeus means pure, righteous, just. He's starting to live up to his name. We live by the name Christian. I wonder what it will mean for you, for me, to live up to that name. It's a question worth pondering, especially today. Let us pray. Gracious God, you see us as we are, flawed in so many ways, and still call us by name. Thank you for the grace that finds us in unlikely places and welcomes us home with joy. As you change Zacchaeus, change our hearts too, that we may rise to follow you in generosity, humility, and love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.